This lesson is for Sunday morning, January 29th, 2023.
All right. Good to see everybody this morning. I want you to look today. We're going to try to get started on this lesson. This is the 13th and final lesson in this series of lessons entitled Our God Reigns from the book of Daniel. Today, we're going to be looking at the last few verses of chapter number 11, and then we're going to go into chapter number 12. And as we complete this last study, I want to remind you of a couple things. Back in Daniel chapter number 10, Daniel was shown there how that there was a great and constant battle that was going on between the unseen angels of the fallen angels of the devil and the angels of God. And I want you to understand this today. There is a battle going on in our world today that we cannot see. We do not see it. And I believe if the Lord were to open up our eyes and we were to see what was going on around us today, it would frighten us to death. It would scare us to death. But folks, there is a battle going on. And I believe that Satan has his armies of demons and devils and his little hellish imps and the principalities of the power of this air doing all that he can do to hinder the gospel getting out in this world and to stop you and me from giving out the gospel. This past Thursday night, we had several folks that were going to be here for the soul winning class. And man, I was all excited about being here with them. And my wife got sick. She had an infusion. She has infusions every 6 weeks or so for this rheumatoid arthritis stuff. And the medication they give her, this Orencia, give it to her in an infusion state. And she's lost some weight. And she's lost quite a bit of weight. And they reduced the amount of medication they give to her. And but within 5 or 10 minutes, she had a severe allergic reaction to the medicines. Now, she's been taking these medicines for years and all of a sudden just had this allergic reaction. And I drove down to Eldersburg to check on her. We ended up calling the EMS. They brought her up here to the ER and got her all set up and all this stuff. But you know what, man, I came back and, man, I was just discouraged because I didn't get to be here Thursday night for soul winning. And then come to find out, a lot of the folks that came out and came, man, they had numbers of folks saved, and God just blessed it. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, amen. The devil didn't get that one, did he? Amen. That's great. And you know what, the devil is going to try to do whatever he can do to discourage you. He's going to try to do whatever he can do to to cause you to think that God just does not care. But I want you to remember this one thing. The devil is a liar. He's a thief. He's a robber, a destroyer of life. And he wants to do all that he can do to take away. And I want you to remember, the Bible talks about this here in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 12, he said this. Paul said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Folks, we are not equipped in ourselves to fight the battle against Satan and his hellish imps. We're not equipped to do that. But God gives us the spiritual armor to guard our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, and to be able to protect ourselves. And the Bible shows us that when Gabriel told Daniel back in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, he told him of how that the prince of Persia, the devil, had hindered him from bringing an answer to God's prayer unto him. And he told how that the devil had fought against him for 21 days. 21 days. Can you imagine? And that's why I told you when we looked at that lesson, do not stop praying when it seems like God does not hear your prayers. It's not the fact that God has not heard your prayer, but there's the fact that there's a warfare going on today. And boy, those prayers may be hindered in being answered. And we need to just keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Amen? Keep our eyes on the Lord. I want you to remember now, as we entered the 11th chapter last Sunday, we looked at this thing and we learned that through the angels prophetic proclamation to Daniel that there would be some great attacks against the people of God. The Jewish nation, you know, Daniel had been praying for his people. And Daniel had been asking God, God, what's going to happen to this, our people? They've been in captivity now for almost 70 years. We're almost coming to that point of deliverance from captivity. Now, what does the future hold for the Jewish nation? What does it hold for the Jewish people? And God began to show Daniel what was going to come to pass in the latter days, in the latter days of the of this world. And folks, I cannot help but believe we are living in the last parts of those days before the Lord Jesus comes back. All the things we are seeing happen and come to pass in our world today. I cannot give a date. I wouldn't even try to do that because the Bible says we can't know that day or that hour. But boy, we can see the signs around us and we can know that His coming must be at hand. And so as we looked at that 11th chapter last week, those kings mentioned in chapter 11 would not only have one desire in their lives, and that was to be the dominant ruler of the then known world, but they wanted to try to do away with the Jewish nation as well. And you know what? The devil has tried ever since the Garden of Eden to make sure that God's promise of a Redeemer coming through the seed of the woman and through Israel, the Jewish nation, he's tried to do everything he could do to make sure that did not happen. But God has prevented it from happening. God has prevented the devil from being successful in his attempts to thwart the deliverer, the Savior from coming, Messiah from coming. And we know that today Messiah came some 2,000 years ago. But the Jewish nation, their eyes have been blinded. Their hearts have been blinded. And they don't realize that the Messiah has come. Now, many have received Christ as their Savior. We would not have this Bible that we have in our possession today had there not been some Jewish converts, folks that got saved, gave us the Word of God, and we have that today. Thank God for that, that we as Gentile dogs could come to know Christ as our own personal Savior. I thank God for that. But I want you to understand that God still has a plan for His people, for the nation of Israel. And today, as we look at Daniel chapter 11, we're going to begin here in verses 36 and going to go down through 45. And then we're going to get into chapter number 12. And I want you to see some things today. I want you to see something. God's going to show Daniel here all these things that are going to come to pass. And Daniel is overwhelmed, but Daniel's job, God gave Daniel the job of writing down these things. Even as Jesus spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, He said, write these things into the seven churches. Daniel wrote these things. And later on, you're going to see how he seals it up and he closes it out so that people could come and know and learn what these things meant. We're going to try to look at some of those things today. And he is going to cover today, there's going to come one referred to in the Scriptures as Antichrist. There's going to come one who's going to rise up. And I want you to see here in Daniel chapter 11, verse number 36, he said that this Antichrist is going to rise up and he shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. And that is determined, and that is determined shall be done. In other words, these things, Daniel, that God is having Daniel to write, the angel is telling him, Daniel, these things are true. These things will come to pass. God's word is faithful. Amen. Thank God for the fact that God's word is faithful. So I want us to look at this today. The lesson this morning, we're going to read a lot of things in this lesson today that I do not fully understand. I don't think there's maybe anybody in this room that would fully understand it all. I think God has designed it so that He gives us what we need to know, and then He will reveal those things to us when they happen. But I'm going to tell you this. when this Antichrist comes on the scene, because I am a child of God, and if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, we won't be here to see these things. We won't be on this earth then. The Lord's going to take us out of here before His wrath comes down. And I want you to understand today, man, God had a plan for His people, the nation of Israel. And He's trying to show these things to Daniel. And what I want you to understand today is that these things are going to come to pass. They're going to happen. There were types and previews, so to speak, in history. And we looked at that last week. We looked at those historical accounts that proved, that verified that what the Bible said would happen actually did come to pass. History verifies the Word of God. And how they can deny that the Word of God is true and accurate, it amazes me. My wife and I were watching a series this past week. It was on YouTube. We found it on YouTube. And it was talking about the history of some of these places. And Antiochus Epiphanes that we studied about last week, it was talking about him and how he wanted to set himself up as the one world ruler of everything. And how that God brought him down. And all the things that we studied last week, history was proving it. And it amazed me to see that these architectural intelligentsia folks, were going back to the Word of God to get their details. And they said, well, yeah, the Bible says this. And they came back to find out, well, you know what? The Bible was true after all. And man, it gets exciting when you just praise God after watching a YouTube video, amen? But man, it was great. It was wonderful. And I said, we just studied about this in our lesson last week. But folks, listen, I want you to understand it. The reason for the lesson today, I think for you and for me today, I want it to be a catalyst. I want the lesson to be a catalyst to better prepare each of us for the days that lie ahead of us. As we serve the Lord in our present day and we prepare ourselves to stand before the Lord one day in heaven. Listen, I want to remind you that we have been saved from the wrath to come. The Bible talks about that plainly, clearly. We have been saved to take us away from that wrath that is to come. God's judgment is going to be for sin and on those who have rejected God and turned away and snubbed their nose at the Word of God. Listen, your sin, my sin, was all laid upon Jesus on that day at Calvary. And every sin that we would ever commit was laid upon Him. And God turned His back on His own Son as Jesus paid the debt for your sins and for mine. And we don't have to worry about going through any of these things because we have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But with that thought in mind, as we begin this last lesson, I want to ask you a question to consider today. And I want you to really ponder this in your heart. I'm going to ask you three questions, basically. The first question is this. What do you want the Lord Jesus Christ to say about your life when you stand before Him in heaven one day? What do you want the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to say when you stand before Him and give account unto Him one day in heaven? We're going to give account unto God for how we have served Him as His children, okay? All right? It's like with Danny in school. He's in school every day, but once every quarter, he gets a report card. And he has to stand and give account for his deeds and his actions, okay? All right? Sometimes it's not real good. But you know what? There's nothing he can change after it's already been done. But folks, listen to me today. What do you want the Lord Jesus to say? While you think on that question, let me ask you the second question. If you continue to live your life, even as you do right now, do you truly expect to hear what you say you want the Lord to hear when you stand before Him? I was thinking about this yesterday when I was finishing out this lesson. I have struggled with this all week. this lesson. And the Lord really spoke to my heart about this. Amen. And folks, we need to think about this. We know what we want the Lord to say, but do we really expect, through the way that we're living for God right now, do you really expect to hear the Lord say about you what you want to hear Him say? Then let me ask you the third question. What can or what will you choose to do so as to turn your focus away from the temporary distractions of this old world in order that you might start beginning right now, today, so that you might start to live your life not for the temporal things of this old world, but to live your life for eternity's sake? What do you need to do to change your focus on things? Listen, folks, the things of this world are not going to last. Money comes, and if you're married, money goes. Amen? Listen, it goes. You have all kinds of things that happen. You know, your car needs brakes. Your truck needs tires. You know, the oil needs to be changed. The groceries need to be bought. And today, that is a major investment if you go to buy groceries today. Listen, things are there to take away. And these things in life are only temporary. I get tickled at Danny. Danny's been cleaning out his closet. And he's brought his suits out. And he said, man, something's wrong in my closet. My suits are shrinking. They won't go around. And I said, yeah, they're shrinking all right. Yeah. The Lord has increased your crop. That's what the deal is. Yeah. But listen to me today. Things in this life are temporary, but the life to come is eternal. And folks, we need to determine today. Listen, Daniel made that decision in his heart before he was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Daniel made a decision to live for God and not defile himself with the things of this world. He made that choice at a young age. And folks, that's what we need to do today. So I want this lesson today to be a catalyst to you, to be an encouragement to you, to strengthen you, to understand that, listen, we're not just living for today, we're living for eternity. Somewhere, every person is going to live for eternity. If we're saved and we know Christ is our Savior, we're going to live with Him forever in heaven. But if a person is lost, they're going to be forever separated from God in an awful place called hell. And I don't want anybody to go there. And I want my heart and my life to be so moved by the Spirit of God that I will be a witness for the Lord, even as Daniel was. Daniel serves as an example to us 2,500, 3,000 years in the future from when he lived. He still lives as an example. And I want to live as an example for the Lord as well. Don't you? Amen. Now let's look at the lesson today. We're going to look at this thing, prophecy of the tribulation, the prophecy that came. In this lesson today, in the first few verses we're going to look at, we're going to see the rulers of the tribulation. Now, as we read here in verse number 36, the Bible said, the king shall do according to his will. And we see that this king that it's talking about here in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, is that same king that was mentioned back in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8. And he was described as that little horn of that fourth beast. He was described as that little horn that comes up out of the four horns of that he-goat, okay, that was being described. And all of those kings there that are mentioned in those scripture texts refer to this same person who is the Antichrist that's going to come up at the end of the time of the end. And we saw here in Daniel chapter 11, verses 33 through 35 last week. We looked at this last week. This king comes on the scene between that 69th week and that 70th week of Daniel. Remember the vision that he gave? And there's a time of the Gentiles, and this king comes on the scene at the close of the gap between where it talked about Messiah, the prince, and the time of the end. It comes at that. And that's back in Daniel chapter 9. We looked at that in Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. But here in Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 45, we read these words, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god. For he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land." Remember now, the glorious land was Israel. That's referred to as Israel, the glorious land. "And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand upon all the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be in his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall take the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him." Now here we see several things about this one that we know to be the coming Antichrist. Last week, up to verse 35, Daniel was told of kings and nations that would come after Daniel's time of living. And now the angel has gone even further to the latter times, those latter times when this Antichrist shall come on the scene. And the king is going to do according to his will. And his will shall be, first of all, to exalt himself and to magnify himself above every god. And then the angel tells Daniel, he said that this king is going to speak marvelous things against the God of gods. In other words, marvelous does not mean good things. It means multitudinous things. Things that you would not believe that someone would say against God. Folks, we are seeing that spirit of Antichrist in our world all around us today. They are calling the name of God. They use the name of God in vain. Listen, the devil never uses his name in vain. He always uses the God of gods, the God of all creation, in vain. Why? Because he hates him and he wants to replace him with his own self. And he's going to prosper till the indignation be accomplished. He's going to blaspheme the name of Jehovah God, the true God of Israel. And he's going to try to set himself up above all other pagan gods as well. And it says, "For that is determined shall be done." And then notice here in verse 37, "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the God of women, or the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all." And this is insinuating here that this king that's going to be coming on, he's got a Jewish heritage about him. He's not going to honor the God of his fathers. And he's neither going to have regards for the Messiah. The desire of the Jewish women today is to be the one that would bring forth that seed, the Messiah, into the world. That's the desire of those Jewish women. They're still expecting Messiah to come through the seed of the woman. And they long to be that woman who God would use, whom God promised to use to bring the Messiah into the world. Mary, okay, in her day, Mary, a young virgin girl, was chosen by God to bring forth the Messiah. But the blinded eyes of the Jewish folks today don't accept that fact. And they still long for Messiah to come through a chosen seed, a chosen woman. But this guy, he's not going to regard any of their desires. He's not going to have anything to do with any of that. Some even believe, and it makes you wonder today with the attitude of the people in our world today, but some even believe this statement of his is not having a desire for women. It may even point to his sympathy toward sodomy and the sodomite lifestyle. And let me tell you why I would say that. Because it goes right along. The last survey I could find on this was dated 2020. The Pew Research Report came out in 2020 and said that some 47% of Israelis said that homosexuality, sodomy, should be accepted by society. The actual percentage was even higher than that in Israeli Jews living in Israel. Listen, Tel Aviv was actually referred to by the Calgary Herald as one of the most gay-friendly cities in the world. And it was famous for its annual Pride Parade and Gay Beach, earning the nickname the Gay Capital of the Middle East. Tel Aviv, Israel. Folks, listen to me. We're seeing this happen in our world today. This Antichrist that comes on the scene is not going to have a desire for women. And whether that is going to be, he's not going to regard the desire of any of the women that say, I'm looking for the Messiah, or whether it be this wicked lifestyle, I don't know. But his desire is the same. And in the midst of all that, the angel says he's going to magnify himself above all. Now, is that not the very same thing that Satan said back in the book of Isaiah, where it's recorded in the book of Ezekiel? In Isaiah, God said, had Isaiah write these words, he said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Listen, verse 38 said, in his estate, his state of being, shall he honor the God of forces. In other words, military power, forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. He's going to desire to have dominion, powerful dominion above everyone else. And it's all for one reason. Because he knows he's going to come against the God of the Israelites. And he's trying to get a coalition of armies together so that he might defeat the God of Israel. But I've read the last chapter in the book, amen? And that's not going to happen, amen? It's not going to happen. Verse 39 tells us, thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Then the prophecy goes on to tell us in verses 40 through 45. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand upon all the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and of all the precious things of Egypt. He's going to control the economics, folks. He's going to control these things. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth and with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. All these things he's going to do to try to take over and destroy and do away with the children of God, the Israelites, God's chosen people. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Man, this describes how he's going to kill others and do away with others, and he's going to rule over others that's going to rebel against him, but then they're going to all come together as one big force. And as we get to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, I want you to see the resister during the tribulation. The resister. Notice here, in the last part of Daniel chapter 11, verse 45, the angel tells Daniel here, after the devil does all that he does to build his coalition against God and to build his coalition against the people of God, the Bible said, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Man, aren't you glad you're on the winning side today? Amen. Man, I'm glad to know Satan, though try as he might to defeat God and to destroy the chosen people of God, he's bound for defeat and eternal destruction. Amen. And we're looking for that day. And what a day that's going to be. Amen. And now here in Daniel chapter 12, look at verse number 1. We read of God's angelic defender of the Jewish people, the archangel Michael. Look at this. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people, the Jews, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now think about this just a moment. As the devil tries to destroy God's chosen people, the Jews, God supernaturally intervenes. Amen? God has a way of doing it. I've got a series of videos that a reporter went back to Israel. He was Jewish. And he went back to see of all these miracles through the years that occurred with the Jewish people and the armies and things like that. And brother, when I'm sitting there watching those videos, chills just run up my back, seeing how God, even in this present day, has protected and guarded his chosen people. And folks, the devil is going to come up against God. And the Bible said here that Michael's going to stand up, that great prince which standeth up for the children of thy people. And there should be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that was found written in the book. This is talked about. This is spoken of. John writes about this in Revelation chapter 12. Pastor's been going through this series for a couple years now. This time of trouble is going to be far greater than any other period of time in Earth's history. We think about the Holocaust. 7 million Jews extinguished. We read about the times of Pharaoh, and when they tried to do away with all the Jews. They tried to kill those Jews even before the male children were born. They tried to do away with them. They tried to drown them in the Nile and do away with all these things. There's never been a time like what's going to come at this time in the end. There'll be a great time of trouble. And it's talked about here. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 through 22. I don't have time to read all this, but he talked about, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Can you imagine the severity? The church has been taken out. The world is left here. The Holy Spirit of God has been taken out. Listen, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the bottle that holds the sweet perfume. And when we are taken out of this world, the Spirit of God goes with it. And listen to me. All of this is going to happen. The world is going to be unleashed in one demonic attack against the people of God and against God ultimately. And if the Lord did not shorten those days, every man, every woman would be destroyed, be killed. That's what the Bible said. It's going to be a great time of sorrow and tribulation. But this is what Daniel's people are going to have to go through. But then I want you to look here at verses 2 and 3, the reckoning after the tribulation. The Bible said, and many that of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many, many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The angel assures Daniel here in verse 1 that at that time thy people shall be delivered. Every one of them shall be found written in the book. Aren't you glad your name's written in the book today? Amen. Aren't you glad you know Christ today? And during that time of tribulation, there are going to be folks saved. They've never heard the message of Jesus Christ. They've never heard of the coming kingdom of God. They've never heard that story. And God is going to use that great crowd, 12,000 from every tribe of Israel, that 144,000 Jewish male virgins. The Bible talks about that in the book of Revelation. And they're going to proclaim the message of God. And many are going to be saved during that time. But when they don't take the mark of the beast, they don't take the mark, they don't accept the following, the teachings of the Antichrist, they're going to be put to death. Multitudes, the Bible talks about. Again, Revelation talks about that in a lot more detail. But the Bible talks about these things. Then look at verse 4. We see the postscripts to this text. The responsibility of Daniel. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now think about this. Daniel is hearing all of these things. He is being told what's going to come to pass, and his mind is just overwhelmed with everything that's going on. And he's looking at this about what's going to be happening in the latter days. But now the angel tells me, says, Daniel, just shut up the book, seal it, even to the time of the end. Now, why would he do that? Why would he do it? Well, in the days in which Daniel lived, even in the days when Jesus walked on this earth, the Jewish people, because of their religious traditions and their self-determination, they weren't going to truly believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They basically became willfully and willingly ignorant of truth. When you turn away truth for so long, you are turned over to a reprobate mind. That's where a lot of our people today in this world are. They've been turned over to a reprobate mind. They cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. They're so reprobate. They have willingly turned it away. But the Bible said Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 13. I want to read this to you. Jesus explained. He said, they asked him, Jesus, why are you talking to them in parables? And Jesus said, because you know me. You know the scriptures, but they don't know it. They don't understand it. And he said, therefore, speak unto them in parables, because seeing, they see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall hear and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You see, they were willingly ignorant of the truth of the scriptures. And God said, Daniel, in those latter days, the time's going to come when the Jewish people are going to seek truth. Boy, they're looking for Messiah right now. We watched some videos this past week where they are looking for the temple, and they've got all these things set up, and they're ready, and they're praying for the Messiah to come. They're praying for him to come. And until that day, when they see and they understand truth, Daniel was to seal up the book until that time of the end when many shall run to and fro. They're going everywhere seeking truth, and knowledge will be increased. And then we come down to the request of the angel. The Bible said here, Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the others on the other side of the bank of the river. If you'll remember, Daniel was there by the river Hiddekel, okay, the Tigris River. And he was looking, and now on one side of the river, he sees another being, an angelic being. And on this side, he sees another one. And one looks over at the other, and he said, one said to the man clothed in linen, which was on the other side, upon the waters of the river, How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, the one that had been showing Daniel these things to come, which was on the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand in the heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. Do you remember we studied this a couple weeks ago? A time meaning what? 1 year. So a time, 1 year, and times being 2 years, one and two is three, and then a half year. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy temple, all these things shall be finished. This is talking about that latter half, when the Antichrist, in the midst of that 7 year contract with the Israelites, he breaks his contract, he breaks his agreement. And for that last 3.5 years, all of this world is going to go through hell on earth. It's going to be awful, it's going to be bad. And then Daniel says, in verses 8 through 13, he said, But I understood not. Then said I, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Daniel, he said, Go thy way, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest, and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Wow. God assured him that, Daniel, these things are going to come to pass. You're going to go, you're going to die, you're going to rest in peace, but these things are coming, and what a day that's going to be. You think about those three things I asked you earlier today. What's your decision going to be today as far as living for God? Let's live for Him while we can. Let's pray. I got to get you out of here. Father, Lord, I apologize for being so late. I was just trying to get it all in today. But Father, I pray that You'll take the Word of God and use it to speak to our hearts. Help us today, Lord, to be found faithful, even as Daniel was in his day. And Lord, help us to take the message of the gospel to all that need to hear so that they too might be saved. And God, we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you today. We love you. Thank you for being included.